Hello and welcome to episode 132 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
Yes, we are. This is Fat Asian, and I play Convergence of Cirrus for real.
This is Tobias, and I play Scorn. Possibly not terribly. And Retribution.
No, terribly. God, I talk so much to you, too. That's the worst part, anyway.
Crump, in last podcast I said Circle, but now I think I'm going to play Jarl.
Jarl?
Keith, and I play Krix.
This is Chad. I play Trolls.
I bet you $5 he doesn't play Jarl at a tournament next year.
He said he would last year, and I bet him $20, and he never did.
Yeah, because I never took that bet.
$20 pay up.
Year's not over yet.
Year's not over yet.
We could go to Rochester on December 7th.
Boom. Yes. Bet's on.
Yeah, we're trying to get 32 people to that tournament.
So. Yeah. I was like, I'm totally spending $40 to go to this tournament to win $20.
$20. Value.
Hey, you get to play in the tournament, too.
Yeah. December 7th?
For the rest of us plebeians, that's reward in and of itself.
It's also the principal.
So. December 7th, yes. The week before Merry Mayhem.
What's the format?
The week before
50-point steamroller.
Wait, the week before what?
Merry Mayhem in Madison.
Who da boss?
Oh, it's thought it was something at Mayhem, because it involved the word Mayhem.
No.
At Misty Mountain.
Right.
It's also the week before the Australian Super Series final.
Awesome. Are you part of that?
I would be, but unfortunately work is not negotiating time off at this point in time. So, no.
It's a bummer.
Sad.
Yep.
Sorry to hear that, Tobias.
Well, I qualified for it, and now I can't go, so that sucks.
That's actually really sad. So that's like the equivalent of our Invitational, the War Machine Weekend Invitational, which is supposed to be global, but let's be honest, it's mainly a United States thing. But
that's correct. So there's a number of qualifiers set up each through the year, and then at the end of the year, because Australia has a ranking system in place, the remaining spots are filled out from the top five ranked players who are not already qualified, and then the remaining spots are filled out by the last chance qualifier called the Gauntlet.
We should rank people.
I mean, we would. The problem with the United States and our ranking system is it's very big, and it's very hard to police.
Yeah, it would require Privateer Press doing it.
Yep.
Yeah, so looks like they're doing it for Iron Gauntlet.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's not really rankings per se as much as it is point system. But
yeah, when you said ranking, I was thinking like the DCI system.
Yeah, which is what it is, or very similar.
That's cool.
So
I would love to import the DCI into War Machine and Hordes.
You wouldn't want to do it now. You'd want to import it from 4 years ago.
What's different?
Now there's Planeswalker points.
Oh. Well, we don't really need Planeswalker points in War Machine and Hordes. I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, so, like, before your ranking...
Whatever the truck of Planeswalker point is.
You would, like, for those of you unfamiliar with the DCI system, you got a number of points based on each opponent you win by a difference between how many points they had and how many you had.
Yeah, just like chess.
Right. And then you got some points... Or some venues had a higher point swing, so like, for example, some venues, the most points you could get in a single win is 16, and some of them were 8.
Yep.
So, just depending. But and so you could also lose points. You basically stole points from people just like you steal their gold when you kill them in Dota. There you go, Chad.
Give me dumb points.
Except for now, no one gets points taken away by other players. They changed it from Dota to League of Legends. So there's not really a penalty for losing other than you didn't win.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So
I liked it when you lost points for losing, because then like a lot of players wouldn't play. Or they'd go 2-0 drop. This is some of the funniest stuff ever. Yeah. They'd be like, I'm 3-0. I'm dropping. Why? My shield deck is not very good, and I don't want to lose any points, so I'm out.
Seems really lame.
Yeah,
I think they got rid of it because people would, like, in a...
People would massage their rating?
No, yeah. Someone would go to, like, a 32, like, a Grand Prix, I think. Max, and Grand Prix have 32, used to have 32-point swings for DCI system, right?
I think Grand Prix were 16, and I think Pro Tours were 32.
Yeah, one of them was high, and some really good player would, like, lose to someone, lose to somebody bad, and then have a 16-point swing because their rating was like buns, and the good players were really high, and then they would rage about it, And the other person was just like, well, now I feel awkward because my opponent is raging that I beat them. Whoops. That is when you feel awesome. But
according to Josh Maxson's Book of Life.
I just killed the giant.
Yeah.
I mean, any time you can piss off a good Magic player, it's a good time.
It's not that hard from what I've
seen. No, it's really not. That makes it really fun.
Yeah, especially
the trick is finding new ways.
Yeah. Like, the best way to do it is to misplay and then accidentally win by ripping something off the top and then having them just, like, blow up.
That's like getting... That sounds about equivalent to rolling out a bad beat on a good poker player.
Yeah.
I wish you could do that. That doesn't lend itself in War Machine.
Rolling out a bad beat?
No, like... Just like,
I mean, you can go for really long odds assassinations, and then when you get them, be like,
oh god, I need to start doing that.
I've seen people do that, and it really pisses me off. So that's a good way. That's a good way. And someone will take a 10%er, and then after the game is over, you're just like, and then you know, you're just looking at the table incredulously, and then they're like, why'd you even move your caster there? Like, they start like going at you, like, you know, obviously I was gonna, and you're just like, no, you just shut up.
It's how they treat it that can make it really special.
God, this is I'm gonna
take a long odds assassination and just treat it like it was
a Craig Conway
like
special.
It was solid gold.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just like that was my game plan all along, and you're like, wow, you're terrible.
This is the nice one, everyone.
I'm just saying, like, you've had it happen to you too. Everyone's had it happen to them. You're just not going to admit it right now because
I thought you were good at this game, but yeah, I just killed your caster.
Like, yeah, good job.
Turns out, like,
you're the best.
Having a podcast doesn't make your caster immune to assassination.
Oh man.
The worse odds the assassination are, the better. Like,
yeah,
with like a boxcar's fire roll or something like that, and you're just like, yeah, obviously that was going to happen.
Got you good. No, the last time that happened was against Dylan, where I was playing Ron, and he was playing Veil 2. And he's just like, well, I've Ron with Forceberry up, hiding behind a building. So I'm like Def 20, and I'm camping like 2, I think. And he's like, yeah, I'm just going to take this Ravagor shot at your caster and try to light you on fire. I'm like, you know, when you miss, I get to choose where it goes, right? And he's just like, yeah, that's fine. 5-5-6. I'm like, what the heck? All right, that's fine. I'm like, it's okay. Ron's somewhat immune to fire. Like, I can and tank this out, and it's, you know, whatever, dice off 3. And then the damage roll puts me to, like, 2, and I'm like, I'm dead. And I was like, huh. Okay, game. Good game.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed watching Matthew kill people with Lilith 2. Not Matthew. Gay Matt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where he would just, every time he'd just be like, well, I guess I'm going to go for it. Because I don't think he knew what the odds were, which was fine because he's just a casual player, has a good time. Really great guy. And, like, he just killed so many people because he was just like, I feet, start taking shots. Hey, look, trip sixes. Happy Thanksgiving, Josh. Thanks for stopping by.
That is a caster I've never played against in a tournament, which is weird, because coming into the game, hearing how, like, bananas crazy good she is, and then going to tournaments and never playing against her.
I'm actually surprised, because I thought Retribution got her all 4 rounds every tournament.
One would think with the forums, right? Like,
oh, cool, more I get to get blamed for. Thanks, Tobias.
No, it's half and half. Half the time it's Epic Kaya.
Oh, of course. No, my mistake.
Round 1, Epic Kaya. Son of a... Round 2... Epigloth. What? This is baloney. Round 3, Epic. Are you kidding me? No, that's actually true. And the group me that I have with rep players, I was just like, I built this list. And they're like, what's your plan for Epigloth? I'm like, dodge. Like, literally, the plan is dodge. And they're like, oh. And I was like, I'm not going to plan for one caster that I never, ever see at tournaments to make all of these matchups worse. Like,
spoiler alert. All Legion players play Epic Veil and Saren.
Yep.
Yep. I wonder what Jake's going to make him play next year.
Well, at War Machine weekend, he was playing Thagrosh 2 and Kallus.
Yeah, they're not. Well, they might jump on that boat, I guess.
I miss Thags 2. That guy's really good and a lot of fun.
Signs and portents, yo. Manifest Destiny is legit.
I want to play. If I played Legion,
I also miss Thags 2. I saw someone at Adepticon this year playing Thags 2 and like 20-something Shredders.
Oh, Shredder spam.
I think as long as they're playing Thagrosh 2 and not Thagrosh 1, because he's annoying as hell.
Yeah.
He is really annoying.
The thing about Thagrosh 2 that I always forget until it happens is that he can just kill
your caster.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he's like, yeah, this thing's POW 18. And you're like, what? just on the card? Yeah, just one and then an 8. And he's like, ah!
At this point, 80% dragon, 20% ogre, and so.
Right.
I can't wait to see Thagrosh 3.
Turns out both of them hit hard, so.
Yes, indeed they do. Does he have the highest base POW of any caster?
Yes.
POW plus strength of any caster in the game?
Karchev, 19.
Dang.
I think.
Yeah, I think it's Karchev. I can't think of one that's
well,
higher.
Well, no one's higher than Karchev if Karchev is a 19. I didn't know Karchev was 19, though.
I think is Karchev 16?
No, he's 19.
Is he 19?
I mean, the Kador Jacks are all like 19, so he's probably...
Yeah, I suppose.
He might only be an 18.
No, he's a 19.
All right.
I'm doubling down. I'm going all in.
I was right. I was right when I said
But holy crap, I would play the crap out of Kalos if I played Legion. That guy's so good.
Yeah, Thags 2 also has, like, it feels rather randomly, but he has Scourge, I think.
He does.
So he can just, like, knock you down, shoot you with Ravagors, I guess?
Yeah, he's a...
can definitely pop and drop you. Like, right? Old school style.
Yep. Scourge is a really nice spell, so...
Scourge is ridiculous.
Him and Denegra are the only two that have it in the game?
Yes.
So? I can't wait till they give Tempest to somebody else.
No.
That's not gonna happen.
If anyone was to get it, it would be a Legion... Like, fluff-wise, because the frost stuff, right?
Yeah, they're never giving that out with an Arcanid.
Yeah, no, they're never giving
Not going to happen.
So trolls, maybe.
I was thinking about spells that they're never, ever going to give out to anyone else ever again. And you know what came to mind after War Machine weekend? Haunting Melody. How legit would that be on a real Warlock?
Hip.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Hip. Well, maybe if they're Fury 5.
Maybe Assyria will have it.
No, I can see
her with her 18-inch control area.
The only way I could possibly see it would be on a huge base as, like, their defense mechanism.
Sure.
Yeah.
It would still be, like, a Fury 5 huge base or something.
But, yeah, that probably not.
No.
It's too good on a Warlock.
If Assyria had Haunting Melody, that would just be ridiculous.
Yep. I mean, if any real Warlock had it, or Warcaster.
If anyone over control of 8 inches had it.
Yeah.
I guess Smoke would... Long Gunners could shoot her, but that would be about it.
You should put that spell in your draft.
Haunting Melody? No.
Oh, I'm doing it.
It's a spell.
That's
it's a spell.
That's the windmill slam.
Yeah.
Is the Haunting Melody.
So you have, like, nice. I've got Harby's 10 focus and 20-inch control area and Haunting Melody. GG.
Yeah, literally. That's like, oh, you don't need to play this game out. Yeah. This is a fun mental exercise.
Yeah.
No orders for your army ever.
And
you can't attack
me. Except from more than 20 inches away.
Good luck.
Victors with Snipe, go! No, you can shoot them.
No, you cannot be targeted by melee or ranged attacks within their control radius.
I thought it was only melee.
No, it's melee and range
as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just that she has like an 8-inch control, so nobody like...
And she doesn't have prowl. She's got to cast the spell.
Right, that gives her prowl.
Right.
Oh, man.
What were we going to talk about this episode? You have Convergence.
Yeah, I had a game.
Battle reports to go over.
Well, I'm out.
We have a battle report. It was actually a really interesting game. We were playing against Risheth and Mother. I think if I had my druthers, I probably would play a little different version of the list that I played.
Your druthers?
Yeah. If I could go back in time and start over, I would play a different list, is what I'm saying.
Druthers?
Well, yeah, possibly.
No, there's no possibly about it. I definitely would.
Was it a bad matchup for you?
probably not, considering Risheth has to do with all living models.
I think it was a bad matchup for me, because I had no feet and half my spells didn't work.
Sounds pretty bad.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure how to evaluate that matchup after playing it. I think it's maybe 50-50, actually, if
I'm
being honest.
He didn't have a feet, and half of his spells did nothing.
Yeah, half my spells did nothing.
Were you playing Mother?
Yeah. Turns out domination, not so hot.
Well, that's probably
I learned
fair.
Something today.
What did we learn?
What druthers means.
Ah.
It was a good game, though. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, even though I whined like a...
You did whine an awful lot.
John was certainly vocal in certain areas.
It's classic Frenchman. There's cheese and wine at the table at all times.
Well, I mean, let's be honest.
Well, it was a nice blue, so So at least it was strong cheese.
Anyway, the list I played was Iron Mother Directrix, two monitors and a cipher, which we talked about before, Corollary, Diffuser, Attunement Servitors, two OptiFX Directive, four Reductors, Reciprocators.
I'm finally starting to understand what those words mean that were coming out of your mouth.
Right, and then the Reductors had the UA that gives them the once per turn recalibration, which is rerolls onto hit rolls.
Oh, that's really good.
On sprays?
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's really good on those guys.
It was
really.
Actually, yeah, if they weren't just all shooting single targets, that would be ridiculously good.
Yeah, well, they all are only 6-inch sprays, so it's... But yeah, it would be silly good. I agree.
It's still nice, just because, I mean, there's a lot of units in the game that have, like, short-inch or short-range...
sprays?
No, ranged attacks. Like, for instance, the Shock Troopers, Man of War Shock Troopers, or...
Slug Guns.
Trackers. Or what?
So like less slug than guns. Anything with yeah, less than 10 inches.
Small, like short range, ranged attacks.
Winter Guard.
But the thing that's nice about these being sprays is that you get to ignore just all a lot of benefits that those other guns don't. Like being in melee, being behind a wall,
standing in a cloud, standing in a forest.
Yep. Sometimes that extra inch matters for stealth, for targeting stealth models.
Yep.
So yeah, it's and then POW 13 and then it's nice because of clear. You don't have to clear is such a good rule.
Yeah, and then with Mother, they can be POW 15, and then they become a lot like Zealots, in that they right. threaten heavies and threaten infantry, rerolls to hit with flare. They become Rat 7, pretty good.
Which was coincidentally quite amusing since he was proxying them with Zealots.
I did do that on purpose. A little bit.
You're so clever, John.
The whole list was proxied.
So my list was Rasheth Chain Gang. Tier 3, because I only had the two Titans. But his battle group was a Titan Sentry, a Titan Gladiator, two Basilisk Drakes, and one Basilisk Kreia. Then there were two Agonizers, two Paingiver Taskmasters, a minimum unit of Paingivers, two full squads of Gatormen, and that's about it. So the tier gives both units of Gators plus 2 speed on turn 1, and lets both the Agonizers start with 3 Fury in their tanks, which is quite good. And because I won the first turn, it let the Gators get up to the halfway point straight away, which was quite nice.
Yeah, actually, I wish I had gone first, truthfully. That would have made a big difference in that game. But we were playing Incursion because we're lazy.
Yep, it's easy to set up.
Yeah. The big problem with the Mother list that I played was it was designed to have the shield wall set defense guys, the Reciprocators, and then the Reductors behind them, the spray guys behind them, so that you could move into a zone with the shield wall set defense guys and sort of hold it, and then the keep things off of the Reductors, and the Reductors can just move up behind them and blow away anything that attempts to
swamp them.
To swamp them, yeah. So it's really good for zones that are close that you can contest both. So if the middle flag disappeared, I was going to be in real trouble, I felt like. So okay. I split deployment on my units. I put Reductors to my left, Reciprocators to my right, and I felt a lot of pressure because the Gators was so far forward. I felt like I had to get into a position where I couldn't be locked out of the zones just by you running Gators forward and forcing me to like not be able to move forward because they were so far forward. So then I took a few shots. I think I killed two Gators with monitor shots, basically, and mother shots.
Yes.
Failed to kill one. And then I ran Reciprocators forward, and then they had tax supremacy on them. So they got to advance another 3. So I got to be in – I actually engaged a couple of your Gators with, like, two of my Reciprocators, giving them away, but also stopping you from locking me out of the zone.
Yep, that's correct.
So I don't know if that was the right move at the time, but it felt pretty right. So,
well, I think with hindsight, I'm not sure whether just a more cautious advance in shield wall might have been better, because even though they completely failed to do it, the two Drakes were there to extricate the gators out of Malay with your reciprocators.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I had to sort of go the long way around, I managed to do that and then charge them past the zone into the rest of the reciprocators. And I think they managed to kill one of the flare bots as well.
Yep, you killed three guys and a flare bot.
Which I think, which probably left you in a position where you couldn't attack that flag, even though, as it turns out, that flag was the one that went away anyway.
Yeah.
And then my other unit of gators tried to jam into the little flamer guys.
The reductors.
Perforators, reductors. Yep. Yeah. And then that's the point where I sent a, Soul Blast or Essence Blast, the range 10 power 12 into Iron Mother and hit her for 11 damage.
Thunder Spirit.
So, Thunder Spirit. That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, I took 11 damage right from the jump. That was really neat.
Skadooshed.
Sounds neat.
But it wasn't that neat. I was like, I'm going to take a Thunder Spirit to the face. Better than him killing a model, I guess, or like, whatever. And then, he rolled a 15 on the damage roll. And I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good until in his next turn he basically healed 9 points of it.
I only healed 6.
So those two little repair guys, well, I think he had 4 or 6 of them anyway. Yeah. Lots of repair guys, but basically I hit her once and then thought, this is pointless. So I don't think I touched her again the whole game.
You thought about it, though. I even tried to talk him into it. I'm like, well, I think the Drake would get a spray on him.
But I wasn't falling for that.
And he was like, no, I'm going to kill, like, these
I talked him out of it.
Yeah, thanks. So
four reductors or...
He was like, I'm going to activate the Drake. And there was this just beautiful line of infantry models for the Drake to spray, like, all over. And you were like, are you going to go after Mother? And he was like, ooh, yeah, she's campaign zero. And I was like, that's a bad idea. Like, you could just kill 4 infantry. And, like, he was like, yeah, I'll do that instead.
Sounds good.
You're such a shyster.
I'm not a shyster.
It's actually funny because having heard many of your podcasts and battle reports, until today, I'd never really appreciated just how conniving John can really be on the table.
Come on, that's not fair. I wasn't conniving at all. I legitimately felt like that was a bad matchup when we sat down.
Well, that may well be true. And
that was very diplomatic.
It may well even have been a bad matchup, although I think on reflection it was probably... I don't feel that either list particularly held a strong advantage there, so...
I would call that a 50-50 game. I could tell that was my first actual game with Convergence. There was a lot of little things I could have done better.
What do you mean? You've been playing the Convergence for 8 months.
I've been talking about Convergence, thinking about Convergence. That was the first time I've actually put them on the table.
Cue the
harp.
The flashback music and then montage of all the times John said, and I play Convergence of Sirius.
Montage!
I'm certainly glad
it'll
that
be like
now,
10 minutes.
Now you've got your Convergence wings, so...
Yeah, a few things that I learned, at least in particular. I'm going to switch my list and put 2 units of angels in it, just for the ability to contest.
What do you take out?
I took out 1 unit of Optifex Directive because I felt like 6 of those repair guys was too much of the game. Mm. I didn't really need that many.
Right.
You really need them for Pathfinder for your jacks, but I'm probably only charging in with 1, maybe 2.
Right.
So I can get Pathfinder when
six
I need it.
6 does seem like a lot.
Yeah, so that was 2 points. Mm. I reduced the reductors from... I took the reductors from a full unit. I didn't even realize I did that. From a full unit to a min unit, so that was 2 more points. And then I took the UA off of the reductors because they were now a min unit. So I'm
Except
leaning...
the flamer guys?
Yeah. So I don't get the rerolls on them anymore, but I'm leaning less on them, and I have angels to do some work.
That, like... giving back the reciprocators or eliminating the eliminators?
No, taking out the eliminators.
Taking out the eliminators.
Poking holes in the perforators. Anyway, so that's how I'm going to change the list, I think.
This is the best.
Having some fast ranging elements that I can flank with and contest with and be annoying with will make it, because it's basically a gun line is what I'm playing. And a gun line doesn't work really well in SR 2013 unless you have good ways to contest.
Yep.
And I think Angels probably are my right answer, but I'm not 100% sure.
Are they speed 6 or 7?
7.
Okay.
They're speed 7, def 16 versus ranged, and they have reform, so I can, like, move up 7 and, like, put a POW, well, with harm, a POW 15 into something. So it also would help me pick off some of those gators that I left at 1.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, this was, it was, the game really came down to bad dice on both sides. So there was a lot of rolls that didn't go well. Although I had an incredible turn that if somebody had told me this story, I don't think I would have believed them. If they had said, so what I did was I gave my guys rerolls, and then 5 guys missed a gator with rerolls needing 8s.
Heart of the cards.
Yeah. That legitimately happened. So
I believe it.
Why don't you be less bad?
Well, I guess I need to learn how to roll dice. Actually, the problem is I was playing with my Menoth dice, and they're red and yellow. And I have purple and blue dice, which is what my convergence will be color-wise. I should have been using them.
You were playing with Menoth models.
I know, but that's where I got confused. I was playing convergence, so I should have been playing the proper color-coded dice.
Speaking
of... And I think I would have been fine.
So the dice are more important than the models?
Speaking of convergence dice, my brother and I went to Mayhem today, and they released the convergence faction dice.
Yeah.
They are actually they look amazing, and you can read them really easily.
I saw those. They look pretty sweet. I almost picked them up.
Like,
that's awesome.
Unlike the Cator ones where I'm like, 2s and 5s all day. I don't know what those are. But these are extremely visible. Like,
color-wise and legibility, I think they're the... Yeah, and design-wise, I think they're the nicest of the faction dice.
Because they're... Yeah, I 100% agree. They're dark gray, sort of like the color of your shirt, and then they have, like, bright, like, sky blue as the numbers and the writing.
So strong contrast.
Right.
Which is great, because the retribution dice are, like, white with pale green.
Yeah, you're like...
They're atrocious.
Yeah, and then there's like a million runes along with the numbers.
Yeah, they're all 6s. What are you talking about?
Okay. Got you good.
My game would have been better if I had played with retribution dice that were all 6s. But I felt really good about the game. At the end of the game, just to summarize really quick so we can move on, I ran out of ways to contest, so I had to send my Jackson to contest, and then you just killed them. And then I missed a really pivotal 3 dice to an 11 from a diffuser to give my guy plus 2 inches of movement to move over a wall. And charging, maybe ding up a gladiator, maybe kill it. Who knows? Probably not kill it. But I screwed that up. So
yeah, if he had got in there, it certainly, obviously, if he'd killed the gladiator, that would have been gravy. But then from that point, I guess the game would diverge enough that who knows what could have happened.
Was Rasheth casting Castigator?
Well, he was. Yeah.
The funny thing is that. He was casting Paralytic every turn because I quickly evaluated that there was a lot of stupidly big guns over there.
Yeah.
And then Castigator started casting by the end, but what I should have really been casting is Bloodmark and throwing that on targets, because I had a turn where the Gators charged one of the heavies.
A monitor.
One's on the flank.
Yeah, it was a 10-19.
So then... Rather than rolling it at dice minus 4, if they're hitting at dice minus 2, that would have been much more efficient, and they might actually have killed it rather than just letting it get repaired up next turn.
No, you would have 100% scrapped it.
Yeah.
Because it lived with like 7 life.
Yeah.
And then
I'd be
repaired.
Worried about the spells flinging in at him, though, without Castigator on.
Yeah.
I would be anyway.
Yeah.
Def 12, or arm 14, right? Against spells.
Yeah. So all of his mother's battle group are arc nodes. Which means that if he did just run one of the lights up and start throwing, I don't know if she's got a...
She's got a power 13. Nuke. It's a 3 focus.
Okay. So only 2, but it can still touch him up quite a bit. So
yeah, 2 dice minus 1s on your caster is not...
It's not something you want to encourage.
Yeah.
No.
Right, yeah.
Not without a feat to heal back up, at least, anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Fair enough.
What are you talking about? He's got Carnivore.
Silly me. Yeah. Actually, there were 6 living models over there. The little choir boys.
The 2 units of Optifex Directive.
Yeah. That's 63.
Yeah, you said you didn't have a feat. You actually had a feat. Those guys would have become armor 11 instead of armor 13.
Actually, you're quite right. That invalidates the whole game. I guess you took it after all.
I didn't say that. No, you clearly won the game. You played it better than I did.
That's true.
I won't.
I'm just being silly.
I won't say anything different. I was not ready for that. But I did learn a lot about Mother, and I learned a lot about protecting your flare bots to the end of the game.
Yeah, and also the thing that struck me most about that game is the convergence focus mechanic is just incredibly good. That's the first time I've played against them or even seen them on the table, and just the little Squire Jack is just amazingly good value.
Yeah, the corollary.
Yeah,
yeah, they're just basically, it's basically just focus but as fury instead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
You just have to low cost of 3 points.
You just have to like sort of lay your guys out in a way.
Which like 6 inches on the one hand it doesn't seem like a lot, but seeing it in action, it's actually quite easy to orchestrate. So mm-hmm. I think that was really cool.
Five.
Induction? Isn't it 6?
Induction is 6.
Pretty sure induction is 6.
Power transfer is 5. Yes. Which Keith is thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like Convergence as a faction. I didn't like the Spray Guys as much as I thought I would, mainly because my dice crap out of me.
That's strange, because I thought the Spray Guys were incredible, but I was extremely underwhelmed by the Shield Wall guys.
That's because I didn't Shield Wall them.
Well,
are we all going
to... They just seem to die to a stiff breeze. So.
Are we all going to start playing Convergence?
It seems like those guys are not going to get their worth unless they have a...
Foundry?
A Foundry backing them up.
Yeah, so actually, I may take those guys out.
How many points are they?
9.
For 6?
Yeah, 5.
See, just because for 2 more points, I guess I'm used to Citrati. He gets 6 for 11, but then they're also Weapon Masters, and that just seems a lot better than...
They're Power 11 Weapon Masters, Power 12.
Yeah, Power 11.
So they're equivalent. Because those guys can become power 14. Yeah.
But they do get set defense as well, I suppose, which takes them up to def 14 versus charge,
yep.
Which is extremely nice. So.
Yeah, they're a pretty good self-sufficient unit. They have a low number of attacks. They're mat 7, so that's pretty good.
They're mat... Oh, that only adds to damage rolls, doesn't it?
Yes.
That would be crazy if it added
it's to... It's the eliminators that can go to...
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones that get sidestep and plus 2 mat.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the other medium infantry?
Well, there's 3, actually.
Okay.
Actually, you know what might not be terrible is perforators. I don't know.
Assault guys.
Yeah, maybe that would be terrible, but you have harm, so it works a little better with them. And then you've already got like a ridiculous amount of shooting. Like perforators would have tore you up bad.
Most likely.
Not with those dice.
What are they? Are they Rat 6 perforators? I'm going to look.
I don't know. I'm not in love with that unit.
I'm not in love with that unit either. I'm just saying in this particular situation, they would have been good. And I just think maybe with all the other shooting that I'm doing, that...
That is the other thing which really stood out is because when I went first, I put 5 or 6 Gators right on the midline, and I wasn't necessarily expecting them to fall over. So I was quite surprised when 2, almost 3 of them did die, because that doesn't regularly happen. So the fire group spell, and they already have quite long range, seems like it was very good. So
yeah, those guys have assault, and they've got a POW 6 armor pierce. So Gators would go to armor 8, so a dice minus 2. If I harm them, they get straight dice on a full unit of those guys, and they have assault, so
yeah.
A lot of Gators would die really fast.
Yeah.
Except that I think they're only armor...
It's POW 8 on their javelins if you don't snipe it.
If you don't snipe it, I'm just assuming you would snipe first and then maybe get POW 8s later.
Right.
But with a snipe, they're speed 5, so they charge 8 and they shoot 10, so they have an 18-inch threat on those perforation shots.
Are they Rat 6 or...?
They are Rat 5. So, you kind of need to hit with the flares in
so
order to make it work.
Maybe another flare bot?
Yeah, maybe. But they're also 12-15 with 8 wounds, so they just die.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. That's like
RQR.
Slugger stats.
Yeah, except they have 8 wounds, which is a little better.
Stupid sluggers.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it bears testing. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I think for a first game, though, it certainly they were interesting, and you know, it was fun. It's, it'd be interesting to see how you do next time. So
yeah, I'm trying to think. If I put Foundries in the list, it seems like it would be good, but they're 3 points for a solo that has no offensive capabilities. It means that I think convergence lists have a problem where you can easily over-support them and then not have enough business in the list. That's what it feels like anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of those support pieces, like the Foundries in particular, if they get two builds, they're worth it.
Yep.
Like then they've met their offensive necessity to validate their point cost. But if you play against an opponent that can negate them before they can take effect, then you're going to end up behind.
So when they rebuild, is the model, does it come out fully functional, or does
yeah.
it have to give something up?
Nope.
No.
Full health, full activations.
Yeah.
So on the medium infantry or heavy infantry, that seems quite good then.
Well, it also, you can put out one medium, or you can put out 3 small bases with them.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
And it's just once a turn, or...?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, except that it's really restrictive. You have to be within 1 inch of a model in the unit, right?
Yes, yeah. The place within 1 inch of the model.
Yeah. So, which means...
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's the place within 1 inch of the foundry, 3 inches to a nearby unit
right.
member.
That's not as bad, I guess. They have a 10-inch collect range, so that's good.
Okay. So does it collect, like, souls or bodies or...?
It collects souls from the convergence models.
Right.
Yep.
And then can rebuild into friendly convergence clockwork vessel units.
Yep.
Can it, say, take one soul from a heavy infantry and then turn it into 3 light infantry?
No.
Technically, yes, but it can't put members in a unit that weren't there. Because it says return.
Oh, okay.
So it has to be a destroyed model. So you can, if you collect a soul from a small base... You can build a medium base with it, but you have to have a dead medium base that you didn't collect from.
Right.
You don't get 3 bodies from 1 soul, right? You need 3 souls to put the 3 small bases down, I think. Right.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
it's either spend 3 to put 3 smalls in or spend 1 to put a medium in.
Okay, right.
Definitely,
if you could build over unit caps, they would be ridiculously good because you just take like a unit of reductors and then you just kill one on turn 1 and turn it into a reciprocator and then keep doing that. That'd be bonkers.
Oh my god, just upgrading.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have your two foundries in the back building you a 20-man unit of reciprocators over the course of the game.
I want a 20-man unit of angels. That's what I want.
That would just be crazy.
The Death Star.
Have they got combined attack?
They have CRA.
Okay, sure.
But yes, with the rules as is, you cannot build a unit over its starting value. And actually, any RFP'd members can't be replaced.
Yep. So many things I did wrong. Pro tip. When you fire group, your harm bots get to be range 12.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Since the mother is a unit and warlock and warcaster units are all part of the battle group.
So then the feat would up them as well, wouldn't it?
No,
because they don't have variable attack stats.
Oh, really?
Just
okay.
Fixed attack stats.
They are solos, but part of the battle group.
Well, that's quite a relief then, because mat 8 harm or rat 8 harm is annoying.
They'd be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're already pretty good.
If you just had 2 Ayanas in your list for 1 turn.
That was one of the other things. I mean, maybe this was just a consequence of the game that was. But it seemed like as the game progressed, your ability to put damage on the table diminished quite considerably. So I don't know if that's... possibly a convergence issue, or if that was just a attrition of like
it's probably
the,
just
the game issue.
It's probably the over supporting thing that he was talking about. Like, if 2 of your units of Optifex were instead more
business
models.
Yeah.
Because as you run out of things for the Optifex to repair, then they stop having value, and then it's like double negative value for you because not only are they not doing anything not only are they not having positive value by not repairing anything, not having anything to repair means that there's no attacks that you can make.
Yep.
So it's like double negative value.
Yep. Yeah. Also, Mother's Gun is really dumb.
Super good. Love the Aperture Blast.
Ridiculously good.
Yeah.
It's like, on a miss, killing two gators is pretty awesome.
Wait, how'd that happen?
Well, you see, I harmed them first, and they were already damaged, and then it drifted onto two of them that were damaged already, and I boosted both the POW 8 blast damage, which were actually POW 10 because of harm, and the gators went... And I was like, well, that was actually better for me to miss. Cool.
God, weird. That's ridiculous.
It was
they must not have been engaged.
No.
They weren't. Admittedly, they were somewhat banged up. However...
Still.
Don't let that get in the way of a good gripe.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, one had 6 boxes, so that was a bit above
average.
Don't
let that get in the way of a good gripe.
All right.
It was good.
She right. does what she must because she can.
Is that her quote?
No.
No. You're adorable.
Is that her quote?
That's a Portal quote. But
I was trying to think of another line from the song that would be relevant, but my brain just blanked out.
Yeah. I don't know, Keith, you played a game with Mother. Did you like the Axe game with her?
I loved the Axe game with her. Loved it. And if I was planning my late game better for still having Flare around, I just never made Flare bots with the Axiom because I spaced it. If I'd made the Flare bots when I needed to, like they would have stayed super strong all game. But on her feet turn, the Axiom just goes bonkers, just goes totally bananas and kills whatever. It's just like, oh, I'll just drag two things in and hit 6 times with my main gun. Sure, why not? And punch some stuff to death. It's like the Galleon on crack. It's amazing.
That does sound like fun.
It's like you kick six. It's like you kill 6 infantry models per, and then drag at least 1 heavy in per, and probably kill it because it's like 2 POW, what, 20?
Yeah, on my feet turn, I killed 2 Man of War Dracoons that were one of which was still mounted when it got dragged in. The other one got dismounted by the drag, I think. And then
my horse.
So it had like. left
you like shoot the harpoon. It goes through the horse's head and clips the guy's leg, and he's like, "No!"
I'm caught in the stirrup.
It was 2 dracoons, 2 Ulans, and 2 Grey Lord Outriders. So it's just like nice. 6 dead horses.
Is the Axiom speed 4?
It's 5.
It's 5.
Oh.
It's not a Rulic Colossal.
Well, I mean, their other heavies are speed 4, so...
It's a floaty bot.
Yeah.
Remember, it is pooping a giant pile.
Speed 5, armor 20, lots of boxes.
60 boxes, I think.
That's a lot strong. Of boxes.
Yeah.
It's one of... I think it's one of the better Colossals, honestly. It's really strong.
And it has auto fire 3.
Wait, yep. So are you talking about the carrier group list you played? Or?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Did you like it as the theme force?
Yeah, that's what I was playing was carrier group. I think I like it.
What's it's the certainly playable. Force give you?
You get like 2 prime axioms in turn 1. They poop out 6.
Yeah, on turn 1, they instead of creating 1 servitor, they create 3. So it's like 4-ish free points.
That sounds good.
Oh, now I want to actually mod convergence because you know how I said it looks like prime axioms just pooping a giant pile.
Just want to make it out of servitors.
Yep.
Oh man, I have somebody working on an Axiom conversion for me that I'm really excited about.
Oh, what's the conversion?
He's going to hollow it out and put gears on the inside of it and LED light it up so that when you look through the window, you'll see gears moving.
That sounds pretty cool.
It's gonna be.
It sounds cool. I hope it looks as cool as it sounds.
I think it'll look cool.
58 boxes.
So good.
What's the super system?
Its super system allows it to crap servitors.
Ah. God, I do want to make a pile. Just buy like 70 servitors and just glue them into a blob of servitors.
Yeah.
What's the auto fire gun do?
Range 13, POW 11. And then the shots have to be, because it's auto fire, they all have to be within 2 inches.
Yep.
So,
Hyperion's small guns.
Yep. Because they're instead of 12-12, they're range 13, POW 11.
20.
With sustained attack.
Wold Wrath, why do you make me so sad?
Are you? Were you playing Cypher in that group then?
Nope.
Just double
Axiom? Double Axiom and Diffuser and a Corollary.
Is he 19?
Yes.
Actually, just on something Crump was saying before. Over War Machine weekend, I saw something that's pretty funny. I don't know if any of your listeners remember, like, WWE or whatever, but there was this one guy there called Booker T who did the spin-a-rooney move, and someone had modded their Wildwraith to be doing a spin-a-rooney, like a head spin.
That was Hudson.
Yeah.
And that was actually quite funny.
Yeah.
That was Hudson, and that has the...
one of our locals.
The shoulder blade had been dug into the earth, so there was this big trough.
Yeah. It is a pretty clever modification.
Yeah. That Dave sure is amazing.
That was Finken.
Finken did that one. Nice.
Finken's also very talented.
He is very talented.
I was talking to Hudson, the story about why he did that is not as good as the looking at the model. I was like, why'd you get the... He was like, well, I got the model, and I just put it on the base because I thought it was funny, like just upside down, like just however it would go, and people were like, you should do that. And so I did. I was like, oh, Hudson.
I love Hudson.
And then Finken came to me, and he's like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm supposed to paint an upside-down world wrap.
We could put the right way up, and then he's just got a really big hat on. So.
Is he more stable on his shoulder pads than on his feet?
He actually is.
Wow, it's
almost certainly.
That's dumb.
Ingenious.
Oh, my God. Dang it. We can't all play Convergence. This sucks.
Yeah, you don't get to play.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I'm not worried about him playing. It was kind of fun running the Rube Goldberg machine, though, figuring out your activations so you could move your focus around in the right way.
Yeah, I just gave up, and I was like, if I do it this way, I get everything I want. I probably lose one or two efficiency, but Mother doesn't care. Like, she has 8. Like, I'll camp 3 instead of 4.
Right.
So you're like, oh, induction's a cool... Screw it, I have A focus. suck it, DC. Yeah. Your rules mean nothing to Keith.
What was really, really dumb with the corollary, and I didn't put this together...
Is that 3 focus becomes 4?
No. Is, you assign a focus to... Like, you do a special action to assign 2 focus to something... Because that's all you really need to assign, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to assign another one.
Yeah, you get to induct as well.
You get to induct. And then you send that focus around the circle, and it comes back to the corollary. Yep. It gets inducted back into the corollary. So you're like, oh, wow. So it gained one at the start of its turn. One came all the way back. So for the grand total of 1 focus, you...
With carrier group, what ended up happening to me is because I was playing in outflank. The scenario, so I had to split up the battle group, and I couldn't really bridge the gap. What I ended up doing was just leaving the corollary with 1 of the axioms, and then assigning 1 to it, and having it assign 2, and inducting the 3rd into that axiom.
Yeah.
And then as the axiom activated, it would just induct 1 back to the corollary, and then Mother would assign 1 to the corollary.
Yep.
And then it would put 3. So I was getting
so cool.
1 focus for 3. It was just the corollary was sitting there being like, all right, I'll power this axiom for 1 focus a turn. Because it wasn't getting its additional focus because Directrix was not close enough when the corollary activated.
It also doesn't lose focus from turn to turn, so
yep.
It's really dumb in a good way. It actually kind of makes me want to play Axis a little bit because the plus 2 inches on its control area is really good. And then... I feel like that guy wants to camp and get in there and do some stuff.
His model's so dopey.
I kind of like how dopey it is. It just, I don't know why, it reminds me of like something from Bioshock, and I love it.
It's dopey in a good way.
He is Bioshocky.
Yeah.
Can you just turn him into a Cyberman?
Like, he is the most...
You could.
Up, like, his model is very rigid. Like, there's no action on his model. It's just him standing straight up.
That's because he's...
Two hammers coming right out at him.
He's the action-reaction guy, so he's just ready to react.
Nailed it.
My favorite part, boosh. My favorite part about Convergence is that Mark Jolly, who's now a Convergence player at our store, I took a teaching physics class with him, and then, like... He showed up at the shop one day, and he was friends with some other people who are in our shop group. And I was like, what the? Wait, what are you doing here? And the other guys are like, wait, you know Mark? And I was like, yeah. And he is the physicist nerd if I've ever seen one in my life. And so he saw Convergence and was just like, I have to play this game. This is perfect. Like, he just instantly jumped on the game the second he saw Axis.
He's like, math, yes!
Yeah. I still haven't pointed out to him that, like, all of their guns are...
Prime
dang
numbers.
It, you
prime
screwed numbers. It up, Aurora, you stupid...
What, her gun...
Her gun's range 12.
That's because it's a binomial beam, or whatever it's called.
Polynomial.
Polynomial beam, yes. Based on the binomial beams that the...
Sure.
Hers is not. Hers is the one non-prime.
What a jerk.
And all of their Warcaster's defensive stats add up to a prime number. They're all 31.
Did they all actually add to 31?
Yep.
What?
I'm sure that was an accident.
That probably was an accident.
I don't know. We should ask DC. Anyway, I'm super excited to play more Convergence. I think they're going to be a lot of fun.
Can I just borrow, like, Aurora from you guys one time for, like, a...
Nope. Nope. I don't even own Convergence. But no.
And I'm going to recommend, listeners, nobody loan him an Aurora. Make him commit to playing it. He's got to buy it, paint it, put it together. Well, actually, who am I kidding? Adam has to paint it and put it together. And Crump probably won't even buy it. He'll probably just trade in some stupid magic card for it. So
that's buying it. It's like I live in ye old days and I trade items for other items.
That's bartering.
Yeah.
Like fur pelts. And
yeah, I just come into Mayhem and I'm like, I have this bear pelts
so in fact,
I would like to trade for.
You are not buying it.
So I hit a deer on the way in.
How many magic cards can I get for this?
This deer will feed you and your family for 3 weeks.
This many magic cards. All right, sweet. Now, how many War Machine models can I get for these magic cards?
Good. Good. I'm running low on magic cards. I think I should go back and play that game for a while so I can get enough money to play War Machine.
It's not worth it.
Don't you just now run events and trade PG points for War Machine models?
Yeah.
Well, that reminds me. I need to order my Gorman Seawolf.
Next batch or never.
Yep.
I already missed it.
Can you remind me for the next batch?
I will try to, yes.
Thanks.
What's this for?
We could actually announce that. Yeah, that the world knows about that.
Yeah.
Right now. So Privateer Press made a exclusive model for press gangers and volunteers. That you can only get if you're a press ganger or a volunteer. It's free to them, which is super sweet.
Yep.
You just have to pay for shipping for it to get to you. But it's Gorman DeWolf pirate styled, so his name is Gorman De Seawolf. And
he's got a harpoon gun.
He doesn't have a harpoon gun, because Gorman doesn't have a harpoon gun, but he's holding out his stiletto as if a pirate, like, was swashbuckling with it, and he has a pirate leg, and his head has, like, a pirate hat on it. He looks a lot like... He reminds me... His, like, face setup reminds me of Ragman, because Ragman kind of has the pirate-style hat. Like, the... It's not a pirate hat, but the...
The tricone hat.
What's that called?
Gas mask?
The kind of hat that, like, Napoleon wore. Or no, does he have an actual, like...
Ragman is not wearing a tricorner. He's wearing the Napoleon style.
Yeah,
hat.
Yeah. I thought that's what Gorman De Seawolf was wearing, too. I don't know. Model looks pretty cool. So.
Pretty exciting.
Lee, you can only get it now or never.
Well, that sounds pretty good. I'll have to look it up on eBay.
It's now or never.
No, if you find one on eBay, a press ganger will lose his head.
Why are they all numbered?
Well, I don't know if they're all numbered, but... Privateer Press has made it very clear that they do not want to see them sold on eBay, that they are for press gangers for use only.
Hungerford might kill somebody.
Yeah.
Well, there goes that plan.
Which, that means, Crump, that if you get one and put it on eBay, it'll sell for buku bucks. Nobody else is going to be willing to
He's
do
actually
it.
Considering
you
it.
You
this
could
is
probably
terrible.
Trade that for
I'm
20 magic cards.
It.
Think of how many magic cards.
Oh, my God.
He's crossing his fingers right now, Will.
I am. I'm uncrossing them to say, Will Hungerford, I love you.
Stop salivating.
We all love Will.
Yeah, he's a super sweet.
He's super sweet. Thank you for tuning in to another exciting episode of Muse on Minis. This has been episode 132. This is John.
Tobias.
Crump.
Keith.
Jed.
We're out.
Fiend.
You guys ready to roll? Let's get these done.
It's not as cool as Calandra dancing on top of a creel stone.
I mean, if you're not saying he's got a mega big cannon.
Does have
it's like a guy with a bazooka.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to see which one he. I'll have to ask him to see which ones he likes.
So, did everybody watch the 50th anniversary Doctor Who special?
I did not.
God.
But I actually have not watched Doctor Who. So.
God.
Doctor Who?
Doctor
How?
Ba 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 ba.
76 trombones in the parade.
No, no, no. Singing the Doctor Who theme song. Stop it.
I like it. God, I'm... Damn it. Are Jarl and Grimm just, like, the worst pairing?
That'd be fine.
Because Jarl is by far my most favorite troll caster to play because he's so fun.
So what's wrong with Grimm?
Well, Grimm has a Crump in it, so he's playing Grimm.
Ah, okay.
Crump has low standards.
Can you hand me a this?
Yeah, sure.
My nose is runny.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.